Welcome to GovInnovator. I'm Andy Feldman. Dean Silverman is with us today. He recently served as the founder and head of the IRS Office of Compliance Analytics. He joins us to talk about how public agencies can strengthen their analytical capabilities, drawing on the IRS's experience. Here's a clip.
If I had to pick sort of the critical success factors that go into making an analytical organization successful, the first is make sure that you decide where you're going to focus. So we focused at the strategic level, strategic problems, big problems of the agency. That means, in that case, that it has to be owned at the most senior levels of the organization, if that's the kind of problem you're going to solve.
The IRS's Office of Compliance Analytics was launched in 2011. Reporting directly to the IRS commissioner, its mission is to improve compliance with tax laws and to make data analytics a key part of IRS strategic decision-making. By all accounts, its effort has been successful, leading to important improvements in fraud detection and reductions in improper payments. Today, the UK and Canada are both implementing similar offices in their tax collecting agencies. The goal of our interview today is to draw out lessons for public leaders in other types of government agencies at the federal, state, and local levels who want to tackle important organizational challenges with analytics. I'm glad to have Dean Silverman with us today. Dean, welcome.
My pleasure.
Start us off with some important background, which is when you say analytics, tell us what you mean.
Well, I think there's many types of analytics, and I think the term itself needs definition. You can have something simple. I think a lot of people mean data mining by it. Or you can mean statistical reporting, so you have the same method of reporting, the same metrics time over time, and you're sort of saying, how are we doing on a given project? You have classic research, which is analysis of some sort, short-term or long-term. And then you have strategy analysis, which is its own brand of analysis. And finally, I think you have an analysis, a type of analysis, which the government doesn't do much of and the private industry has gotten into, which is called testing or test and learn. But at the end of the day, I think it's important to recognize that analytics is only a byproduct of using data effectively, and it itself is not an end product. The end product has to be an outcome of sorts. And I think that's where the debate about analytics and how to use them, gets lost sometimes because it's about the product. It's about the outcome. And getting the outcome requires you to have an hypothesis about what you want to get. And that will define what kind of analytics you would use. So you don't start off with the analytic component. You start off with the problem set. And then the problem set has to have an hypothesis and you have to be pointed towards an outcome.
And how did you start, Dean? What was the first issue that your team tackled?
The first issue we approached was the issue of improper payments, because we all know that's a big issue for Congress. It's a big issue for the American people. And so we were looking to, while not trying to burden taxpayers or preparers, we were looking to lower improper payments in the earned income tax credit area. And as we all know, that entails probably about $20 billion a year of improper payments. So the question then became, how do we go about doing that? We decided to focus on the return preparer community, which was making lots of errors and in some cases was filing fraudulent returns.
And just so we're all on the same page, the return preparer community means what?
We have lots of preparers who open up shop just for filing season, then close shop right after. They tend to prepare earned income tax credit returns in bulk, and they're not doing their due diligence requirements.
Okay, so tell us how you tackled this problem with analytics. It was a test and learn strategy, if I'm right.
Yeah, the IRS generally had approached this problem from the standpoint of auditing, right? And there's a certain number of audits one can do. I mean, that's a standard way we enforce, tax administration. The problem is that you can't solve this problem simply by going retail. You have to go to the source. And in not all cases, but in many, you'd find preparers who are preparing returns that look exactly alike, despite the fact that the circumstances have to be different. So data would suggest that they're not preparing their due diligence. The question then becomes, how do you intervene with a preparer? Well, you could go visit all of them, right? But you don't have the resources to do that. It's expensive, and you don't know if it's going to work. You could write them letters. Should that be before the filing season, or should they during filing season, or should it be both? You could make phone calls before the filing season, or both. You could, at the end of the period, if they don't respond to any intervention that you have, visit, and audit their clients, to make a statement that they'll hear about it. We tried all of those things in some sequence and measured each of them in a controlled test environment. And in the consequence of doing that test, we saved about $2 billion in improper payments over a period of 3 years, and a very limited test, I might add.
Dean, when people hear the term analytics, they may think of simply looking at data to find the right answer. But the example that you're giving is a situation where you don't know the right answer. The data shows that there are problems. You need to try different strategies to fix the problem, and then you can look at the data again to see which strategy works best. This is test and learn.
Yeah, test and learn is a completely different kind of analytics, and not one that the government tends to be familiar with. We've heard about behavioral experiments, behavioral economics, right? They tend to be small, and they tend to influence things at the margin. The IRS and tax administration has large problems, and so we're trying to use the concept of testing, which is, as you might think of, is in the private sector. Think of a Capital One, which basically built an entire company around the concept of testing, and many others do today. So the question becomes, how do you intervene? And since you don't know what action will generate what reaction, you try several of those. And when you try several of those, what you're doing is you're unlocking the right answer, and you're doing it at a scale level that is both economic and poses less risk. So it's not a pilot. A pilot goes out there and says, I'm going to try something, a wholesale program, and then did it work or not work? Well, the problem with that is that it's expensive and it's very risky. Part of it will likely work. Another part won't. You have to understand the component parts. That's what I mean by test and learn. There's a third part of test and learn, which is when you learn, which is knowledge, you adapt. The basic fact of test and learn allows you to see in an economic way what's going on and what works and what doesn't work, and to adjust yourself and adapt to the right approaches.
I want to ask you about the lessons that you would draw out for other public agencies. But first, tell us, Dean, a bit more about the structure of this office. How big was the staff? A bit more about how it worked.
In terms of the organization itself, I made a bold prediction when I first got there that the organization wasn't going to be greater than 30 people. Our goal was to get to work as quickly as possible. And so with a small office, and we're not 30 people yet, the notion was is that you get a group of people of varying skills, not all the purely analytics, some project management, many of whom come from the business on a detailed basis inside the organization who are working on projects. Why do we do that? We do that because the problem is not solving a problem. It is, in fact, implementing a program that gets you a desired outcome. And when you do that, the fastest way to accelerate that, as well as build the capability of using analysis to get to an outcome, is getting people from operations involved early and often on all projects.
And I know you recruited people from operations to be on detail to your team. Dean, next, I want to ask you about lessons learned. For folks listening to this at the federal, state, or local levels that want to boost the analytical capabilities of their organizations, what are some lessons learned from the IRS?
Yeah, if I had to pick the sort of the critical success factors that go into making an analytical organization successful, the first is make sure that you decide where you're going to focus. So we focused at the strategic level, strategic problems, big problems of the agency. That means, in that case, that it has to be owned at the most senior levels of the organization, if that's the kind of problem you're going to solve. If it's going to be how do you improve the audit process, that could be owned lower in the food chain. But from a management standpoint, strategic problems, in terms of how do we approach this whole thing, you know, that has to be owned at the senior levels. That's one. Two is, analysis alone doesn't solve it. The best analytical minds are not going to solve this problem alone. They're going to have to solve it in terms of a partnership, largely with IT and most importantly with operations. Because again, you're looking for an outcome, and the only way you're going to get to an outcome is that operations has to be a part of the team and part of the solution, because they're going to be the ones who implement it. That's who gets the outcome. I personally believe, and I very strongly believe, that operations has to drive every initiative that any analytical organization does. Part of the problem, as I go around to different agencies in the government, is that IT tends to be separated from operations, analytics tends to be separated from operations, and sometimes IT is separated from operations itself. So IT will get to say, go build me this. IT will go away, build you that. 3 years later, they'll come back. It won't be what you wanted because nobody's talked to each other, et cetera. The same thing's true for analytics. Operations will say, here's a problem I want you to solve. They'll throw it over the wall. You'll solve it. You'll send it back over the wall. And they go, well, this isn't any use to us because it's small and it doesn't really make any sense. It's not implementable. Well, let's get rid of all that, throwing it over the wall and passing stuff back and forth. Let's get teams to work together from the get-go, from day one, and their job is only done when the things are implemented and then we see where things go and we can measure results.
A couple final questions. One of your priorities was to make these analytical capabilities sustainable over time. Tell us about that.
Yeah. We started with really two goals in mind. The first you mentioned earlier on, which was just to create positive enforcement and voluntary compliance results, right? So material improvement in results. The second is a material improvement in the agency's capability to get results. And for that, you have to start thinking about how am I going to inculcate analytical problem solving into the agency? And for that, we really mean that we have to have people in the agency participate in the problem solving, in the problem definition as well, but in the problem solving of these various issues. So we have to have them on our team. We had a program that seconded folks into our executives and senior managers into our group for every program that we did. And they weren't done and they didn't go back until the program was done. And then when they were done, they had an appreciation for how do you do problem solving using analytics. That's an improvement in capabilities.
Finally, Dean, I know that you selected the projects that the Office of Compliance Analytics focused on, but you also saw leadership buy-in as critical. Tell us why.
Yeah, if you're going to address a strategic problem or multiple strategic problems, senior leadership has to be not only aware, but they have to be on board and they have to be continually apprised because you're going to require resources. Sometimes you'll have to bring in resources from the outside, contractors. You know, sometimes you'll need a specific executive whose job, you know, is he's already in an important, or he or she is already in an important job. So these are important initiatives and important things to get right. And that means that senior leadership at all levels, operational leadership and agency leadership, have to be involved.
Thank you, Dean, for sharing your insights with us today. And congratulations to you and to all those with whom you worked at the IRS for your accomplishments.
Thank you, Andy.